Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back in making his ninth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, his former defensive back and TNT guest Hall of Famer, Vince Glenn. Let me remind you about Vince's background. He's from Grambling, Louisiana, played his college ball at Indiana State, where he holds the record for career interceptions with 17 and the record for the longest interception return for a touchdown, 100 yards, which he did against Wayne State back in 1984. In 85, he was named a first-team All-American as well as a first-team All-Missouri Valley Conference player. That year, he was also named the Missouri Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year, and he was inducted into the Indiana State Hall of Fame back in 1999. He was a second-round draft pick by the New England Patriots in 1986, and he played defensive back in the league from 86 to 95 for the Patriots, Chargers, Vikings, and Giants. Over the course of his career, he had 642 tackles, 35 interceptions. He recovered 9 fumbles, and he scored 3 touchdowns. And I do this every time Vince comes on the show, because this might be my favorite story that we tell about any one of our guests that we've had the privilege of having here on the show. But a few years ago, I had the privilege of walking the grounds at Augusta National with Vince. And Vince was a wonderful player in the league for a decade. He's a big Nike guy. He's good friends with Tiger Woods and his family. And if you get the privilege of being around Vince for any amount of time, you can become drawn to him like we've been, because he's so real, he's so genuine, and he's such a great guy. But I am not exaggerating, folks, when I say he and I could not walk 10 yards at Augusta National. Augusta National now. We couldn't walk 10 yards on Augusta National without someone coming over, shaking Vince's hand, giving him a hug. And at one point, I looked over at Vince and I said, "Vince, you know everybody." And he stopped and looked me dead in the eye and he said, "No, Chris, everybody knows me." Good evening, Vince. How are you, my friend?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Good. First of all, Happy New Year. And it's always good
Happy
to be
New
home.
Year to you. Thank I appreciate you. Vince, I want to start tonight by taking your pulse on the folks there in San Diego where you're living these days. And last week, you know, I was rooting for the Chargers to beat the Patriots, but part of me was going to feel badly, because if the Chargers had won that game and gone on and, you know, won the AFC Championship and maybe even gone on and won the Super Bowl, I was going to feel bad for the people in San Diego, because the Chargers would have finally gotten over the hump, finally won their first Super Bowl. There was going to be a parade. And it was probably going to be in L.A. How do the people in San Diego look at the Chargers this season?
People really are into it like they used to be. I'm sure you have your diehard Charger fans, might be 18% of the city or something like that. But people don't line up to go watch the game. They're not lining up, you know, to say, "Let's go see the Chargers, man, go to the Super Bowl," or banners all over the city, good luck in that, because it's a disconnect. To be honest, we're in San Diego and it says Los Angeles Chargers. Just like being in Cleveland and saying Cincinnati Bengals, and you'd be like, "That says Cincinnati Bengals, not Cleveland." You know, so it's the same, but, you know, they're playing well. They played well this year. Phillip Rivers is, Phillip Rivers, you know, just never gets hurt and just keep plodding along. But, it's a different feel in the city, and I'm really scared, Chris, that if something doesn't transpire in the next year and a half, they're going to lose football for good in California as far as the fan base. Now, the league might want to come back later on, but it's going to be difficult to get people back out there. As high as price is going to be to go to a game.
And, Vince, you know I'm a huge Steelers fan, and I got to be honest with you, I'm concerned about all the drama going on around the Steelers. What are your thoughts? When you see what's happened with what's transpired with them this year, with the Le'Veon Bell thing and now the Antonio Brown thing and some of the back and forth within the team, your thoughts on what's going on with my Steelers?
Well, here's the thing, Chris. Some teams allow prima donnas to take over the locker room, and there are other teams where the prima donnas don't allow nothing to get out of the locker room. If you look at Seattle, you look at the Patriots and the New Orleans Saints, man, you know, there's no prima donna. You know, you can, yeah, the newscast to talk about the quarterbacks and things like that. But these guys all love and play for each other, and they feel like they're on equal ground. But the old Pittsburgh Steelers, there was, man, when you had Mel Blunt and you had Donnie Shell and Lambert, how you gonna talk about you better than all them? all you did was want to win a championship, and everybody celebrates. But now they've given too much in to the receiver position where, you know, they get to do all the things they want to do. You know, they want the money. Next under the quarterback is the receiver. Then it's the running back. Then it's the offensive lineman. Then it's the linebacker. Then D-line, you know, things like that. And that's the pecking order of how you get paid. And the Steelers have kind of gotten away from that core of, man, let's focus on football and not so much of the social media talking in the locker room. You never used to hear Pittsburgh Steelers players talking about each other or putting the Steelers locker room business out in the street. Now, it's just open news to the public how the players feel. You need to come in and do this, and I need to get my money and do this, and oh, you'll see. You know, it's just too much social media room, and that's the problem, I feel. And I hang out with Damani Dawson, and we talk about this. You know, it's not the old Pittsburgh Steelers mentality. The organization is the same. They conduct themselves the same way. But the locker room has kind of got more prima donnas and no real, like, true leader.
So where do you put the responsibility for that, Vincey? Is that a Mike Tomlin thing? He's got to get control of the team again? Is that the team captains need to step up and keep that stuff in-house and don't let it get out? Who is ultimately, do you think, responsible for having to kind of get their arms back around all of this thing and get it back right?
You know, Chris, I think what happens with teams that get in this kind of trouble is that the people that become the leaders were not voted the leaders. You know what I'm saying? You have guys in the locker room. Every locker room has guys. They look at like 4 to 5 guys. They know, hey, man, they the cornerstone. They bring in it. They professional. These are the guys that's doing it right. Then you have your other guys that are, you know, in the league. And so if those 4 cornerstone guys, those pillars, don't be strong and get everybody to deliver the same message, the message is always going to have leaks. Going to always have cracks in the pillars where water drip out or something. But if look at the Patriots. I mean, you don't never hear nothing come out of that locker room. Even New Orleans. You know, Sean Payton may say something that's just his DNA. But players don't say nothing, but they be winning. You know, Seattle, they don't, even the coaches, it's just like, to some organizations, that's not important. But social media has made individuals think they're important. Man, when guys go get telephones out of the goalpost, when guys make an interception on the 40-yard line and sprint all the way to the end zone and 10 guys chase them down there to take a picture, are you kidding me? He made an interception. They paying you $5.7 million a year to do that. And as soon as you get one, you sprint to the end zone and want a photo op for the ESPN and everything. That's crazy to me. Can you imagine every time Peyton Manning threw a touchdown, he ran down the end zone and did a dance? Everybody be like, oh, he's a show-off, he's arrogant, blah, blah, blah. But now it's the golden rule, man. Go do your do. I don't mind you having your skits. I think some of them are great. But when I see whole teams run to the end zone on defense, that one I'm like, man, that ain't defense. That ain't defense.
Yeah.
Run to the sideline and get off the field. That's the difference.
Bob, questions for Vincey?
Yeah, Vincey, those are all great points, and I was going to bring up a lot of them. I mean, you had 35 picks in your career, and if you had a major celebration for every, I know you were the kind of guy you just wanted to go back to the huddle. When can I get my next one? That's what pros did back
that's
then.
That's it.
And yeah. You make it sound as if, Vincey, that these guys don't police themselves like they once did. Do you still think there's a need, though, for some strong people in that locker room, just in case a good team like the Saints, Patriots, in case a guy is coming unraveled, it just never gets out there.
Bob, you know, Chris knows, and anybody with common sense knows, the leadership starts at the top, goes down. It never starts at the bottom and goes up. So if you don't have it, it's hard to get it. But some locker rooms don't demand it. Look at the prime example. Let's go back 2 years ago in Miami. How do you let a locker room get to that point? Oh, it may have been 3 or 4 years. It might have been longer than that. When they had the little racist remarks and things like that, they know that's been going on. It becomes a culture of silence where, you know, guys start getting in their individual corners with their groups. And before long, man, you just out there playing to a guy that they paying you to play next to. You know, there's no when myself, Carl Lee is one of my good friends till this day. Play with me in the bike, and we joke all the time. He always say, man, I had 3 Pro Bowls before you got there. I'm still looking for my 4th. He always say I kept him out the 4th Pro Bowl. But we got a camaraderie and a love and a togetherness that's just, you can't break. It was 3 years. All the DBs, Ty Scott, all of them, even the guys I played with, man, it was just 3 years of doing it at a high level. And the respect for the guy that you know that came and did it at a high level with you, day in and day out. They don't respect their teammates no more. They respect peers, other people, before they respect their teammates. And you got to have love and respect for your teammates to win a championship. Ask the Patriots. Ask the Steelers of old. Ask any dynasty. You have, even though Golden State might be arguing with each other right now and a little off, they love each other, man, because they know what goes on behind the scenes. And when you got players that know what goes on behind the scenes and it's not good, got certain guys getting special treatments and things, and you're like, man, that's a problem. That becomes a little cancer, and it grows. And then sooner or later, you're either going to get rid of the coach, you start all over, or you're going to get rid of one of your starting key players, and the cancer's going to continue, but in a different way somewhere else, just like with Le'Veon Bell. How do linemen go talk bad about your running back? That's his money. You never talk about another man's money. Let him make his money, and you'll be glad when he gets there, because I remember a lot of times he would stop 2-3 yards in the backfield and got 18 yards, but it makes you look good. You know what I'm saying? Not many times he missed a hole and lose 10 yards. he wasn't doing that. So, you know, you sit there and you bring that in and you be like, wow, they talk about Le'Veon. I know they'll talk about me behind my back. So now it becomes an offense-defense thing. Oh, that's the offense over there, man. They doing that. And then the defense over here trying to do their thing. And that's how easy it starts with your Steelers. And people don't realize that, but that's what they got to deal with every day. And also trying to win football games. It becomes hard.
And Vince, you mentioned social media. We've talked to a few guys on the show that they actually tell their clients, you know, if I'm you, beginning of the year, I shut it down. And, you know, if you want to do it in the off season, it's one thing. But it seems like, especially the young guys, Vince, they cannot not get in trouble by using social. Nothing good can come of it, because people can obviously, number one, misconstrue what you say, or just you're going to say something that's going to be taken the wrong way, and then you can get into a shouting match with people, et cetera. You know the dangers of it. And right. What would you recommend, like young guys coming into the league, or if you were coaching, just social media, Twitter, can't they shut it down for a bit?
They can. I'm going to give you a prime example. Down in New Orleans, and I just found this out the other day. I was talking to some people that are very close to the Saints organization, and Drew Brees. And what's the receiver's name, Thomas, number 13?
Yep, Michael.
What's Michael Thomas. Name?
Michael Thomas.
Yep. Michael. Yep.
They say that dude is the most consummate professional you ever meet. He come to work, he put his hat on, he go at it, he go home, he don't go out, he plays football 7 days a week. There are guys that do that. You got guys on the teams that do that. Mm-hmm. But some guys don't buy in it. But I tell you what, all the receivers on New Orleans Saints are doing it because they know they got Drew Brees and they got their best player working harder than anybody. How can you not work hard?
Yeah.
How come Tom Brady works harder than anybody at practice? How can you not work hard at practice? You know what I'm saying? So when you have those prima donnas that don't have to work hard at practice and can kind of go through the motion, what are you going to say to the other guys? How can they play at a high level or practice at a high level when the prima donnas and the stars ain't even practicing at a high level?
Yep.
And high level means a focus, a mental focus about studying and getting it right. And the teams that study and get it right, they allow their coaches to put in different game plans every week. That's why New England wins. They get it right, so their coach can come in and say, I don't care about no other game in the rest of y'all lives. This is the game plan we've got to execute 100% this week. They're going to have a different game plan for Kansas City they had the first time. They're going to have a different game plan than they had against the Chargers. And that's the thing. And the Chargers didn't change their game plan. They went in there with the same 5-6 DBs that they did the week before with Baltimore. That's because what's his name can't throw. You know, Jackson can throw, but he can't throw. You know, he doesn't know the offense well enough to have the opportunity to throw all that time. So they put DBs, so if he starts running, they have people they can catch. So they go to Patriots, and they think that's going to work against Tom Brady and them. And like Tom Brady says, you give me six DBs, we're going to play the powerhouse game. We're going to run it up your butt. You got DBs in there, 195, 200 pounds trying to play linebacker. Okay, here we go. And that's what they did. And that's why they stunned the Chargers. Chargers thought they were going to come out trying to, you know, throw it to Edelman, double-team Gronk, and do all that. Nah. They totally bumped them. That's why they got down 35-7.
Then, see, divas aren't new in the NFL. It's not something that just came about in the last couple of years. I'm sure you saw your fair share of them when you played in the league. Do the players police that in the locker room? Guys that have been around the league, the veterans, are they really the guys that should be pulling those guys aside and go, look, we don't do that here. You know, we're about winning.
Absolutely. If they respect you. But a lot of young guys don't have the respect because they think they're prima donnas, man. It's about them. And that's an environment that you're around on a day-to-day basis, man. You can have friends that'll keep you humble than a mug. Trust me, I had them. You know what I'm saying? So you can be humble. There's guys that can come and talk to you, but if they know you're not going to listen, why? And especially if the coach is not going to say something to you, how are they going to listen to you?
So do you, when you're trying to make a point with a player and the player doesn't respect you, I mean, at some point, don't the players have to then go to the coaching staff, the GM, somebody go, look, we're not going to win with this guy. This guy's about his stats. He's a me guy. He's not a team guy. You got to get him out of here because if you don't, it's going to tear this team down.
Man, look here. After the off season, you can bend all that you want. But during the season, you need the best athletes and the best football players to play on that field with. So you don't really get into that because it's players just doing your job week in and week out. It's so hard. And you're really not around those guys that much. Because if you can notice a guy that's not doing his job or not holding up to his part or the bargain out there on the field, if you can pay attention to him, then that really means you ain't really focusing on your, you know, you just don't really have time to really get into what, you know, guys that come in late, you know, guys that sleep in the meeting room. You just hope they ain't the starters. That's all. You just hope they ain't the starters. That's the line, I'm being honest. But you're going to have that one starter that going to be out doing his thing late and all that. And you know it, but if you produce on Sunday, man, I ain't got no problem with you. But if you ain't going to come in there producing on Sunday, and that happened to me in New York with the Giants. I'm not going to mention no names, but I had a teammate that I knew went out all the time, told me. And I'm looking at him like, bro, you really don't need to be talking to me. That doesn't make me, like, feel good knowing you going out night before the game, getting it in. What is that? Man, I'm playing out here with you. And the first thing you're going to do is make an excuse. And I'm going to say, yeah, I know why. So, you know, you get in those kind of, and I'm serious. And he made bad plays after bad plays. But there was nobody replacing to better than him. So, you know, those things happen. And that man going to pay him his $1 million or $5 million they making now and don't really care about your concerns. Just so. Football's too hard to be worried about another person. You know, to be honest, you need to really be focused on what you got to do if you're trying to win championships. But, you know, there's that all that camaraderie and all that, let's get it right, that happens in training camp and preseason. Come season, you shouldn't even be, like, talking about nothing but the game plan and X's and O's, man. You know, and that's where Pittsburgh, I think, got distracted by talking about Le'Veon and the lineman fell for that old okie doke. You know, let's go talk about the running back, the pressure and getting in here. We're like, dude, this dude's gonna play in the league. What are you talking about? Why are you messing with his money? You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna succeed if he ain't here. And you didn't. And they kept talking about, oh, you know, well, Connors is doing this or whatever the guy's name. Man, he ain't no Le'Veon Bell. I don't care about all that. Man, y'all crazy. And what happened? They ain't make it to the playoffs. Out there on the field watching somebody else play, hoping they win. so they can go to the playoffs when they had it in their own hands. Baltimore ain't played great this year.
With all the rules changes that have taken place over the last several years, and Bob and I have been saying this, that playing defensive back in the league now might be the hardest thing to do in sports. Talk about, you know, when you're watching a game, you shake your head like, oh, I can't believe these, you know, defensive backs can't do anything. Can't touch a guy now. Can't hit a guy now. Because if you do, as soon as you do that, a flag is going to come out. So are we on the right track? Defensive back, the hardest position to play in sports right now?
You Chris, you guys could be GMs because you're definitely on the right track. It is impossible. I tell people, and I talk about this all the time, this is not the game I played. I say, let me give you a problem. I'm just going to keep it real basic and simple. Think about Jerry Rice. It ain't a player in the history of football, and they throw it 50 times a game now, will ever do what he did. Never. Never. I said, Jerry Rice ain't talk shit. Excuse my French. He didn't say nothing. He didn't talk smack. You know why? Because Jerry Rice would know the very next play he's going across the middle and somebody is going to knock his head off and his career is over. Really. I'm serious. So yeah. Those guys, they like, man, these guys are hit. They got the right to hit me. I'm not going to antagonize them to take them to a new level when I know they already want to hit because I'm good. These receivers know you can't hit them. They know it. They know it as clear as day. That's why every play they look for a flag. Just like on every hit to the quarterback, they looking for a flag. They crying because they know the rules say you can't touch me. And when they do get hit the normal football way, they think it's a violation of their constitutional rights to be a human being. You know? So they do. And so it's like, oh, they're going to talk. They're going to do this. They're going to ask for flags to be drawn. And the NFL has allowed them. You have to learn how to fall on top of people. You can't, linemen can't fall directly on the quarterback. You got to do a sumo wrestler move or something to get on the side. And you need to might go take wrestling classes to play in the NFL to play defense. You got to learn how to wrestle and take guys to the side without landing on top of them. And doing that kind of stuff because it's almost impossible. You know, and that's the sad thing that they're taking away. They call it the same game, but you're taking away natural stuff that people can't avoid. Instinct. When you take away a person's instinct, that person is less.
Period.
That's because that's
Bob, one more for Vinci.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay on that same topic, Vince. The just the way they try to police every tackle and where you place your head, and I mean, I just couldn't believe that they called a roughing the quarterback penalty last week when the guy just pretty much touched the guy near the feet, and the quarterback went down, and it's roughing. You can't get him below the knee. There were so many little quirks now. I don't know how these guys. They're trained one way in college and high school events. Now they're getting to the NFL, and it's under a microscope so much. It takes all their talent away, and they may have to start thinking too much instead of playing. I mean, it is a totally different game. I don't know if it's going to be the same game in another 10, 15 years now with less people playing.
I really think robots will be playing the game, and people will be able to play against other people from home.
Wow.
With the robots.
I hear you.
They are, because these guys are only playing like 5 years and they're making so much money. 7, 8 years, they gone, man.
Right.
Because they know the opportunity that has come in front of them to make money and get on out and not get hurt and beat up. For what? Man, they don't even do training camp and all that, man. And they act like it's, they going through World War II. You know, it's just crazy, man. It's just a different game, but that's the way the league wanted to go. And they got what they wanted, but it's definitely damaging the game, and it's definitely damaging the game to where people really want to get into it at an early age. These nine people, kids are playing lacrosse, physical, fast speed, and in 10 years, lacrosse, they're going to be making $1 million lacrosse players. You watch.
Yeah.
Vince, are you going to be in town for the Super Bowl? You going to be in town for the Super Bowl?
I was just about to mention that. I'm in Kansas City right now, and I'm at an old Chicago pizzeria, and I'm here. I work for a company called Digital Ally. It's a law enforcement security company that does ambulance EMT services as well as police services. And it's called Digital Ally. Great company. Go on your website. Check it out. And I'm here with Mark Collins. That's what I wanted to tell you. I'm here with Mark Collins.
Yeah.
25.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, he loves you guys. He said, man, you don't want Chris? I said, yeah, man, I got to go outside to the car. He said, tell Chris and the guys I said hello. So I wanted to say from Digital Ally and Mark Collins, man, we appreciate Thursday night tailgate. If anything I can do for you guys, you let me know.
We appreciate you, Vince. We love you very much. Thank you, my friend. Tell Mark we said hey, and hopefully we get the opportunity to catch up with you again real soon.
All righty. You got it, man. Guys, I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Take care, Vince.
All right. See you, Vince.
All right. Hey. All right.
That's the great Vincey Glenn. And Bob, we talk about him, you know, shooting straight from the hip and all that sort of thing, which is, you know, one of the things that we've loved about Vincey over the years. But, you know, he's right about the Steelers. He's right about the Divas. He's right about the defensive backs. And, boy, I love every time he's on the show because you're going to get the straight skinny from Vincey, and he's always spot on.
And you and I are in agreement. I could just picture you and I just shaking our head. Yeah, yeah, everything's, he's right. Yeah. And it's just amazing to a guy that passionate, and he's so right on. I mean, guys that are, you know, over 45, 50 years old, will know the way the game was once played, and Vincey's a no-nonsense kind of guy. And again, we never want to underestimate his career, which was incredible, Chris. 35 interceptions and ended his career up here in New York. And he talked about it a little bit under Dan Reeves. But again, it's an honor every time we speak with him. I just love his candidness.
We've got our next guest, Jim Everett, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Jim on the other side of this quick station break.